This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yes, it is, random child from the internet. A good morning indeed. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen.
My car wall hadn't loaded yet, or I would have got you, but I couldn't.
I was ready.
Were you?
Yeah, I was ready.
Okay.
I was here. I was set. I was ready to rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
As I always am, completely and entirely and always professional and prepared.
Why you're wearing that, knowing how warm it's going to be in here. Trying to knock off some LBs while you're standing. Oh, you're a part of the tracksuit mafia now.
Tracksuit mafia, baby.
Uh-oh, look out.
It's not a tracksuit. I got blue jeans on.
Okay. All right, I see them now.
Yeah.
Are you going to say bro a lot today?
Bro. Hey, I figured out where Buddy came from. Did I tell you that? Have we had this discussion yet?
Yeah, you blamed it on Mark Benetti.
I didn't blame it on. I came to the realization yesterday that is 1,000% where it came from. I went up yesterday for a couple of hours to the well to watch a little SEC women's college basketball. And obviously, while I was there, went upstairs, chatted it up with the bunnies, and Benetti was there. And it was me, him, and one of the guys from the sales staff. And we're all sports guys, right? So we're all talking a little college basketball because last night was an absolutely electrifying night of college basketball. Kind of a boring slate tonight, but real good night last night. So we were talking college shooty hoops. We were talking about the conference tournaments getting started next week. We were talking about the schedule last night. Alabama and Florida, an absolute burner of a contest. Florida with the big win over the Crimson Tide. They've dropped two in a row now. Nate Oates' squad has. We're going to talk college basketball later in the show after electric night last night.
If you are not a fan of a school, are you not a fan of a school because just their football team and their basketball team, but it's okay to like say their name without disdain for the rest of their sports?
I wouldn't know because I don't ever do that.
Okay. Well, I was just curious.
I would never do that.
Nothing came to mind when you were talking.
Yeah, no, shouldn't have. Shouldn't have, because that's not me.
Oh, I can't. I know they're in town.
You and I are impartial and love everyone equally.
Oh, no, I'm not. I can't I can't stand Florida because of Mark Ryan. I'm going to say that because of one of Mark Ryan's teams, which was Florida.
Allegedly.
Took him, what, 10 years to graduate?
So.
Well, he said it, not me.
So we were talking.
But I thought you didn't like Florida, so and I was going to equate it to him.
I know you are, and I'm not doing that.
Okay, all right. I apologize for instigating. I can't put it away, but I will try to pat it down.
So we were talking college shooty hoops yesterday at the well. Me, Justin, and Benner, and we got to talking about the ACC this year, right? Because it's not good on the men's side for the ACC. It is not a good conference. It's Clemson. It's Duke. There's a couple of okay teams. North Carolina is a bubble team. And that's pretty much the list. Virginia's not great. Like, maybe with a dominant performance to wrap up the regular season and in the tournament, maybe they could steal bid 68, something like that. Not a good year in the ACC. And Benner had asked me about the Clemson-Florida State settlement that we learned about on Tuesday and talked about at length yesterday on the show, which we'll get into because I may shock you, have another take about that coming up today. And we were pointing out that, or I was pointing out that, the ACC, I think, may be utilizing this strategy to adopt a new one. The settlement, as we talked about, the settlement basically clears a path for Florida State, Clemson, probably Miami, to do what they want to do and get invited to the Super Leagues, the SEC and the Big Ten, in 2030-31, which gives the Atlantic Coast Conference effectively 5 years in its current setup to do whatever they got to do to figure out how the hell they're going to survive when this is all said and done. Because those schools are gone. Florida State and Clemson for sure. Miami more than likely. And then the question is, who else abandons ship, assuming they get invitations elsewhere? The Big 12, the SEC, the Big 10, or whatever. And I said, fellas, I think there's a strategy here that might be in play. And that strategy might be, although it's not working out for them right now, to utilize that 5 years to try to become a basketball super conference. Look, we're never going to keep up with the SEC and the Big Ten in football. We all know that, right? Like, the ACC just cannot, especially when, underlined, italicized, Florida State and Clemson leave, can't keep up with the SEC, the Big Ten in football. But perhaps, perchance, maybe, you could build a dominant basketball conference. There are enough really good basketball schools out there that are not affiliated with the power conferences that if the SEC was to absorb a bunch of them, especially if they were able to keep Duke and North Carolina in the fold. Again, not a guarantee. But if they're able to keep those two teams in the fold, and there's enough big-time college basketball teams out there that are not affiliated with the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference, if they could stack a bunch of those, perhaps the ACC could become the dominant basketball conference in America. And annually, when March Madness rolls around, they go and they pop 14, 16, 18 teams into the tournament, then all that money stacks up out of the tournament. No, it's not football money, but it's still good money. They stack up all that money. They send all of that money to the schools, and now it's an attractive conference. Is that going to happen? Probably not, but we're going to talk about it later. The point of all of this, though, was that as I was going through this conversation, there's a point where I pointed out that the ACC was down, and Bonetti looks me in the face and goes, "Buddy, that's an understatement." And as soon as the "why" in "buddy" came out of the lip, I was like, "Benner, you're a legend on the show, but it's not just because of your incredible interviews that you come in here on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 8:40 and talk Buddy's hockey with me. It's because you have jammed the word buddy into the Rob Brown Show lexicon. It is something that for some reason greatly perturbs the executive producer and BMOC, tribal chief of the Fan Upstate, Lonzo. And I have spent a week and a half trying to figure out where the hell I picked up Buddy from, and it turns out it's the voice of the Greenville Swan Bear Rapids, Mark Benetti.
Also, more proof that I'm only co-host when you're here, but when you talk to other people, I'm lowly executive.
I called
producer.
You the tribal chief.
Yeah,
of the Fan Upstate.
No, I could point that way as a tribal chief. You see where I'm pointing?
The window.
Yeah, that's what I'm pointing at. Anyway, you get it. It might take you a second, but you get it. It bothers me not because of the word, but because of the tone and how demeaning it was when you said it the very first time. And because of that, I will use it forever until, of course, you know, someone tells me I have to get rid of it.
Buddy. So I've had a conversation.
It will take an act of God. or you talking to Chris and have him scrub my whole thing.
That's it. I've had this conversation in years gone by. Outside of the radio station, where I am nothing but a consummate professional at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to use some adult-colored language away from the radio. I tend to use some flavorful language away from the radio. And I've had the conversation before that I thoroughly believe that the F word is the most dynamic word of the English language. And now it just is. This isn't a debate. I'm telling you for a fact. You can use it as a noun, you little bleep. You can use it as a verb. I'm bleeping going to, or I bleeping
so I don't understand why this word came up unless you're thinking of this word towards me
now. Not at all. No, don't do the thing where you think that if somebody says something, it's obviously an attack on you. It's not.
Okay, we're in a conversation where we're going back and forth, and there is attacking happening.
No, there's not. I'm setting up an explanation for why you're wrong about the word buddy. Here's why. The F word is the most dynamic word in the English language. You can use it as a noun, a pronoun, an adjective, an adverb, a verb. You can use it in any capacity. It's a filler word. It's a primary word. You can use it in any way, shape, or form, which means that it can be used positively. I am so bleeping pumped right now.
I don't know what to say. Let me use a word that made me look cool when I was 12.
Still makes me look cool now.
You think so?
Yes, I do. I can use it as an exclamation of joy and happiness, wonderment. That's bleeping awesome.
Show your joy right now.
No, because again, that's going to get me fined $35K. You want to step out in the hallway and I'll say it.
Ooh. All right. Rob just asked me to step out in the hallway.
Yeah, I realize how that came across. All right. Immediately regret that choice of words. Point here is, now if we're over in the Fortress of Nerditude, and I don't do it around Lonzo out of respect to Lonzo, but if Captain
Which
America, Chris Evans and I are down on the other end of the hallway and we're talking, yeah, he and I might sprinkle a little pepper into the conversation. The point here is, very dynamic word, you can use it anyway, exclamation of joy and happiness, exclamation of anger, sadness, you can call things that, you can use that as a descriptor, it's a great word. And therefore, the connotation behind that word can be anything. Positive, negative, neutral, whatever. I feel the same way about buddy. Can I use it in a condescending turn? Absolutely, I can.
Yeah, we've
that all
heard
is
that.
A terrible take, buddy. Can I use it in a positive way? Hell yeah, I can. I can be like, dude, buddy, hell of a job. That's a very hockey one, and I only know that because a couple of the boys were up there at the well yesterday, was having conversation. One of them, Miles Gendron, player for the Swamp Rabbits, fan of our show, great one. Yesterday, he was like, I heard you guys having an argument. You know what he brought up hilariously? Miles Gendron, player for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, said yesterday, after I talked to him for like 2 or 3 minutes, he goes, by the way, it's a chili dog. That's it. That's all he said to me. Right? Like we had a conversation and then he stops as he's about to leave and he goes, oh, by the way, it's a chili dog. And then he walked away. So not only is he a fan of the show, but he's like hitting the highlights.
Yeah, but you and I weren't arguing over that. We completely agree. We're in solidarity on that. Maybe
and now,
that's it. But
with
that's
at
it.
Least 1/20th of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits roster. Okay. But we were all sitting up there having the conversation and they got to talking about Ovechkin playing the Rangers tonight. And we were having the conversation that Rempe's suspended. The Rangers' big fighting guy, going to be out. This feels like a good night to put a little change down on Alex Ovechkin to net a goal. And he did, by the way, in the third period, tied it up 2-2. The Capitals would go on to get the dub over the Rangers 3-2 in OT. But he said something to the tune of, buddy, he's having a great season. It's a wonderful word. I'm glad to add buddy to the lexicon because I feel like, you know, positive, negative, neutral, you can use that word anywhere. If you call somebody buddy, it can be 100% negative. But I could also slap you on the buttocks and go, hey, great game, buddy. And that's a positive.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that around here.
I'm not going to do it
I'm
here.
Sure that's an HR violation.
I mean, there's some people that would probably be more okay with it and less okay with it than others.
Actually, I'm probably the only one you could get away with that. It's probably just me.
I want you to know, I love you. Taylor Swift heart hand emoji. I'm not slapping you on the butt and saying, good game, buddy.
Well, I've had that happen here, but only by one person. Everybody else would be afraid.
Can confirm that's not me.
Yeah, not you.
Not yet.
So who would you slap on the butt in this?
I don't think, I don't. I mean,
who would you feel, you think you could hit your ex and he'd be okay with it? Maybe not today, but
no.
I mean, you know.
I don't think Diesel would be okay with it. I do think Cole Bryson would be like, Word. Right? Like he's closer to his departure from playing organized athletics, the one place in America
come on.
It's okay to tap the booty and say good game and it's not weird.
What did he play?
I assume.
See, you don't know.
I assume.
You don't know. Something that didn't require height.
That he played inside linebacker. That's just my assumption justification.
He's got a pretty quick 40, so maybe he did.
All right, we got a lot we got to get to on the radio program today at 8:40 this morning. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast is going to swing by. We'll check in on his thoughts re the Carolina Panthers at 8:40 at 9 o'clock in the
AM. We're going to ask him if he's okay with a Bosa.
If he's okay with a Bosa, like adding a Bosa? Like adding the available Bosa?
The Bosa,
the
that,
Bosa
just,
that just got cut?
Yeah.
That is the Bosa. I talked to that. I was hosting BetMGM Tonight last night. Final hour of the show was me and Hayton Ass Mario together rolling for 60, and that came up. You know, he does the official Chargers podcast for the Odyssey Network, and the Chargers obviously cutting other Bosa last night. And I said, this guy's been with the Chargers for, what, a decade now? Is this the right call? And he said, not only is it the right call, but it needed to be done last year. And then he pointed out how many games.
Yeah, he's been hurt a lot.
He's been hurt a lot.
He has.
I don't know if it, because you're still going to have to pay a premium for him. He's not on my radar for Carolina, despite the fact that they need a defensive lineman. I'm going to where I've been staying. I'm going to hold on to what I've been staying 10 toes down when I say it. Draft linemen. All of them.
I'm just saying, a healthy Bosa, I know there's no guarantee, but a healthy Bosa, also veteran leadership, all that kind of stuff would help the Panthers. But Rashad probably will disagree with me like you.
I have no
bias, no reason to really
tell
be
you what,
into Joey
if
Bosa.
I could get Joey Bosa on like a 3-year, $30 million contract, $25 million contract, I'd take that. But Big Bro and Max Crosby, with two X's, has reset the market for defensive linemen. He is now the highest paid non-quarterback in league history. We're going to talk about that coming up in a minute.
If you get cut, you're not going to get that.
I didn't say you're going to get it, but the market is reset. And when a market resets, like the defensive edge rusher market got reset yesterday, yeah, he went to 106 million with 91.5 guaranteed. That drags everybody on that sliding scale to him. Bosa's going to cost you more today than it would have cost you if you signed him yesterday at noon before Crosby got his deal. And I don't know how that's going to work out. We will talk about that with Rashad Beard at 8:40. Hayton Ass Mario at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on it as well and talk a little NBA with Mario. It's Thursday.
You forgot somebody.
No, I didn't. Okay. I'm coming.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure that you do the thing.
Coming to that here in a minute. 9:20, it's Thursday. You know what that means. Fight Club! With the great one, Lonzo, as we continue to watch the after effects of Elimination Chamber and the second biggest heel turn, ? In the history of professional wrestling?
Yeah, we're going to have to revisit that.
We are going to have to revisit that. Oh, are you moving it down the list? It sounds like you're moving it down the list.
No, that's number one on the list. It's going to be number one for a while.
We're going to talk about that coming up at 9:20 on Fight Club. And at 8 o'clock, we will be joined as we are every Wednesday. Excuse me, what's today? Thursday?
It's Thursday.
I'm struggling right now.
All day.
Every Thursday by the lovely Lulu Kessin, who will be stopping by in studio. She is here in the upstate covering the Southeastern Conference Women's Basketball Tournament at the Bonsecours Wellness Arena, and she has been kind enough to get up early, leave her hotel room, and come check in studio. We'll have Lulu at 8 o'clock here in the studio, Rashad at 8:40 on the stream, Mario at 9 on the stream, Lonzo's Fight Club at 9:20. I thought that one was a for granted.
Okay.
Anything, everything you want to get to? Now, until 8 o'clock, it's your show. We're going to talk NFL. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk NHL. Alex Ovechkin now a single digits number away from the great one. We had another milestone in the NBA last night. Giannis Antetokounmpo crosses the 20K mark. He's 30 years old. Could he catch Bron's 50? Talk about that and a whole lot more as the show rolls on. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Let's go! It's the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I was here the whole time. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio, Rob Lonzo and you. Last night in the National, last night was a damn good basketball night, man. Real good basketball night. Stayed up. I was hosting BetMGM tonight along with Brad Evans. Got the last hour rolling solo with Hayden Ass Mario. And I had four games on the 75. I had three games on the 45. I had two games on the laptop, one on the tablet. There was SEC basketball. There was NBA basketball. It was a good night. A game that I was not particularly following with any interest, mainly because I knew it was going to be an absolute blowout, was in the NBA, where Giannis Antetokounmpo and his Milwaukee Bucks were taking on the Dallas Mavericks. And, of course, no Anthony Davis, no Kyrie, as his ACL has popped. He is done for the year. Anthony Davis likely going to shut it down as well. I was watching, reading some of the setups of this game. And I saw at one point a little ticker come across whatever network I was watching that said the Dallas Mavericks, who are not a bad team, they're actually above 500, but obviously that was with half the season with Luka Doncic on the record. That was with Kyrie Irving available up until earlier this week. Both of those cats gone now. And then the injury report came across last night. PJ Washington, sprained ankle. Caleb Martin, strained hip. Dante X, right foot. Jaden Hardy, sprained ankle. And then the ticker said, the Dallas Mavericks, underdogs in this game already, have three players available off the bench. Three total. They have one, two, three. They have eight players available to dress out. None of them named Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, or Kyrie Irving. None of them. So I thought, that game's going on the back burner. I had that game on like the little screen down on the corner. Because, and I don't know if this is more my fault, more the NBA's fault, more Milwaukee's fault. I don't know whose fault this is. Somebody's fault. I did not know that Giannis Antetokounmpo was in stretching distance of crossing the 20,000-point mark on his career. 30 years old, 20K points recorded as of last night. Knocked that number down in the first half. But I saw the celebration that was taking place on the television after it happened. The Bucks ran a big tribute package to Giannis Antetokounmpo for his time in Milwaukee. They were doing some stuff on the court, whatever. Started scrolling the social media. People were talking about it, et cetera, et cetera. And the question mark I came up with as I watched that was, this happens just a couple of nights after LeBron James hits the 50,000 mark. The only player in the history of the National Basketball Association that has done so. The conversation about LeBron getting to 50K was, will we ever see this again? I talked about the fact that the Lakers brought Luka Doncic over from the Dallas Mavericks to make him the face of the Lake Show whenever LeBron calls it quits. If they win a chip this year, I think he'll call it. If they do not, then next year's up in the air. I don't think he's going more than two more years. But realistically speaking, Bron's going to finish probably, if I had to guess, somewhere between like 50,800 points and 5,200 points. Pretty good year. Pretty good career, I would say. Will anybody ever catch that? Is anybody ever going to get to that mark? And we were talking about this off the air when I was doing the show last night. And the conversation we came up to is like, who? Who could do that? Could Luka do it? Is there anybody else we're even having? Could SGA do it? Guy's got 450 burgers on the season this year for the Thunder. Could he get there? And I think we all kind of agree that if anybody could do it, it's going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo, an NBA champion, an NBA Finals MVP, a two-time MVP, an NBA Cup champion, which we know we hold as just high prestige as the NBA championship itself.
So hard to win.
2024 NBA Cup MVP, nine-time All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP, six-time All-NBA First Team, two-time All-NBA Second Team, NBA Defensive Player of the Year in 2020, four-time All-Defensive First Team, All-Defensive Second Team, Most Improved Player in 2017, All-Rookie Second Team in 2014, which means he's been in the league for 10 seasons now. He's gotten 10 seasons, and he's gotten to 20,000 points. Now, and this is true, bad at math.
No, come on, dude.
I know. I mean, I'm shocking everyone.
Wow.
Every job that I do involves words into a microphone. That's because words aren't numbers. So.
Well, and algebra and intrigue and
well, right. But I'm not
letters.
I'm not explaining those into a microphone. I talk about dumb things like old men playing children's games for money. That's way more fun, way more entertaining to me. So, as someone who is bad at math, I am relatively sure that if Giannis Antetokounmpo has played 10 years and he's gotten to 20,000 points, if it was a word problem, the next half of that word problem would probably say, how many points would Giannis Antetokounmpo score if he played 20 years? And the answer is because I did my fingers and my toes and everything to figure this out. 40,000 points. And this is also true, another math fact that I just happened to know off the top of my head. 40,000 is less than 50,000. Not only is it less than 50,000, but it's roughly 10,000 less than 50,000. And at the pace that Giannis Antetokounmpo has played so far in his career, he would have to be able to keep up the pace of play that has made him an NBA champion, an NBA Finals MVP, a two-time Most Valuable Player, an NBA Cup champion, an NBA Cup MVP, a nine-time All-Star, an NBA All-Star Game MVP, a six-time All-Star First Team, yada, yada, yada. You get the accolades. He would have to keep up that pace for 10 more years, and then 5 more years after that to have a chance.
I'm glad you went simple math, because more complex math would be to point out how many points he scored in 20 years and ask how many games it would take for him to surpass the current leader.
Yeah, I'd rather just do that in a year-by-year as opposed to game-by-game
rate. Which, by the way, is moving math, because the current leader is still going to score more points.
For sure. So just to get to, forget catching Bron, to get to 50,000, to become the second player in NBA history to record 50,000 points, the guy that I would argue, I think fairly, is the most dominant scorer of the basketball in the NBA. Maybe not most dominant player, I think that's Nikola Jokic, maybe not the most dominant inside man, the dominant outside man, whatever, but just the most dominant all-around scorer in the NBA. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo can do things inside that Jason Tatum cannot do. He can do things outside that Nikola Jokic can't do, and he's got more mass to him than SGA. I think he's just the most dominant scorer of the basketball in the NBA. He would have to do what he's done so far for 10 more years, and then do that for 5 more years after that, unless he picks up the pace. Yesterday in this segment, I sat here and I said, if you're not watching LeBron James, and you're not watching him because, oh, I'm tired of people comparing him to Michael, I'm tired of people comparing him to Kobe, if you're not watching him because I don't like his movies, I don't like his politics, I don't like his attitude, he flops, whatever. I'm not gonna beat you up for having a reason not to watch the guy. The only point that I was making was that you're costing yourself an opportunity to watch history be made night after night, game after game, every time this guy goes to the floor. Because the next dominant player in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo, would have to take the time that he has put in so far for the past decade. He would have to do that for another decade, and then he'd have to do it for another half a decade after that to get to 50,000. LeBron's past 50,000. We got, what, 38% of the NBA's regular season left to go for this year. And I don't know if we're going to be right or not. We'll find out. LeBron and I have both prognosticated that if LeBron wins a chip with the Lakers this year, he'll retire. But if he doesn't, I think, Zoe, do you agree? He's running it back for one more next year, now that he's got Luka on this squad and the Lakers are clearly willing to invest?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But there's another thing. I know we talked about that yesterday, but what if they win and they win in a fashion that ignites even more of a fire to go, okay, we could do this again next year.
Yeah, I got no idea.
Because, you know, championships, I'm guessing, is an addiction if you can win them.
We do like winning.
Yeah.
Zoe and I end every show trying to figure out, did we do anything today that's going to help us get number four? Do we do anything today that's going to get us crystal trophy numero cuatro? Anything. Winning is an addiction.
I'm told someone's coming for us. That's what I'm told. I'm told that show in the afternoon, they're coming for us. Because one half of that show wants to compete and wants to win.
Listen. Competition makes everybody better. I'm here for it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. If we beat them, it'll be handshakes and hugs all around because there's only two finalists. And if both finalists come from the same station, I'd say the station's doing something right. If they beat us, the next 365 days of my life will mean nothing more than getting it back. I will shake their hands. I will pat Cole and only Cole on the butt and say good game. But I have an addiction to winning.
I've never been in that position before. So
to pat somebody in the butt and say good game?
No, I don't know if it. I've never been beat by someone else on the station.
Yeah,
so
I think it would drive us both up a wall.
I don't know how I would deal with it. I may just retire. I may be like, you know, I can't handle the devastation.
Don't do that because you can retire after we run the revenge tour and we get.
We both want to be able to do at least five times.
100%. So winning is an addiction. It's an addiction that I have. For sure. It's an addiction Lonzo has for sure. It's an addiction a lot of people have. A lot of people don't have. I ain't judging whether you do or you don't. I don't know LeBron James. I don't know because at some point, winning feels great, but like physical pain feels worse. And at some point, there's going to be a trade-off there. I don't know if he comes back for another year or not if they win a chip this year. Here's what I do know. If he does, he's going to be closer to 5,200 points than 50,000 points when he's done. That means that Giannis would have to go 10 more years, then 5 more years, then probably 2 more years after that. This guy, who has already won an NBA title, an MVP, has been a 6-time, 7-time NBA All-Star, would have to do everything he's done for the last 10 years for potentially like 12 more years after that to get there. You see how ridiculous that is? That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not asking for that out of Luka. I'm asking for that out of the most dominant scorer in the NBA right now.
All this praising of LeBron James is just upsetting people.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Do they make any Steiner Math t-shirts? I want one of those. I have to look that up.
I'm better at Steiner math than I am regular math. Lulu Cassin at 8 o'clock to talk South Carolina Gamecock women's basketball as the SEC tournament got underway yesterday right here in Greenville, South Carolina. Damn, the Tennessee Lady Volunteers won by 40 in the opening round. We'll talk some basketball with her at 8. Rashad Beard at 8:40. Hayden asked Mario at 9. Fight Club at 9:20. It's a busy show. If you want in, do it now. Because once we hit that 8 o'clock hour, you're out. You're done. I got no room for you from 8 to 10. I got all the room for you from 6:35 to 8. 844-326-3663. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Taking you all the way up till 10 a.m. It's the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Great to have you, people. I am Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, on the ones and twos this a.m. If you'd like to be a part of the show, now is a wonderful opportunity, wonderful time to make that happen. There is a list of banned topics on this show. It is not a long list. It is not an extensive list.
So, like Pink Floyd?
No.
Def Leppard?
No.
Boy bands?
No.
Okay.
You know, I'll get down to some NSYNC. I could probably still
Stop playing games with my heart.
Ain't no lie, baby.
Wow, that was really good. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing on the stream.
I won a high school talent show my junior year with me and three other buddies. Did the full dance to NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. Won a talent show with it. Sticks with me. No.
Now you got the hair to match. People couldn't see it because you got the hat on, but yeah.
The band's sports topics list. There are not but a few of them. At the top of the list for a very long time has been Pete Rose. Pete Rose was a banned conversation on the show. And it's not because I do or don't have an opinion or anybody else does or doesn't. It is because I don't know. In the 17 years that I have been in this industry, broadcasting in various regions of the country during a nearly two-decade career, God, I'm old, I have never, not one time, had somebody say, I have or not, or have not changed my mind on Pete Rose. It is a fruitless conversation because I'm going to sit here and tell you all the reasons that I think he should or should not. And you're going to tell me all the reasons you think he should or should not. And all the people who think he should have the same reason. And all the people who think he should not have the same reason. And it's a philosophical reason. And no one in the history of the Pete Rose conversation has changed their mind. So I have put it on the band. And topic list because to me it has always been a waste of time.
All right, I have a legitimate question here as opposed to the questions that I usually ask that are not legitimate. If you talk about a banned topic, aren't you technically making it a topic?
I have only talked about the banned topic and pointing out when the topic has arisen, that it is a banned topic, and we will not talk about the banned topic, but then I don't want to get into the depth of the conversation.
Okay.
I don't go
technically
like.
Technically, it's now a topic, isn't it?
Well, it is a topic.
It's now a topic because it's a banned topic, not because you're touching on the topic itself.
No, because I am touching on the topic now.
Oh.
And I'm touching on the topic now.
Is this presidential?
No, it is commissioner-idential.
Okay. All right. Because I heard a thing where someone, you know, wanted someone in the Hall of Fame. I didn't know if it was real or not, so I didn't know if that's what you're talking about.
As far as I know, that is true. President Donald Trump, who was friends with Pete Rose, wants Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Again, banned topic. Not because it's Donald Trump, but because Donald's got his opinion and he's not going to change it, and I'm not going to change mine.
I agree with him. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Here's why I bring this
just
up.
It's because he played in Ohio, and so I absolutely were born to have to go, yeah, we love Pete Rose.
Yeah, the Buckeyes travel in packs. Yeah, we've learned. Yeah,
just like Clemson people get it, because that's how they are with all their stuff.
The reason that the unbanned topic is an unbanned topic for a very brief period of time is because Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred is reportedly reviewing a petition to reinstate Pete Rose, which would, if passed, make him eligible for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
But being eligible doesn't mean people will vote for you.
That is also correct. Pete Rose died in September of 2024, September 30th, if you want the exact date. There is only one reason that Rob Manfred would reinstate Pete Rose, and that one reason is to get him into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, this is where Rob Brown is going to, maybe for the first time on the Fan Upstate, reveal where he stands on the Hall of Fame discussion. I don't think Pete Rose should be in. I don't. And it's for one reason and one reason alone. Major League Baseball Rule 21D, Clause Number 2 says, quote, any player, umpire, club, or league official or employee who shall bet any sum whatsoever upon any baseball game in connection with which the bettor has a duty to perform shall be declared permanently ineligible. That rule was placed into baseball in 1921.
Really? It's not old of a rule.
1920. That rule is over 100 years old. It was over 80 years old when Pete Rose
How many people playing the game understand that rule has been around and even know the rule exists? I'm guessing they talk to the guys when they come in.
I can actually answer that question for you because I've had this conversation with former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker. Everyone. And the answer is everyone because, and Deck has confirmed this to me, and I do trust Cody Decker, every major and minor league clubhouse in baseball has a big-ass poster displayed in their clubhouse with this rule and only this rule on it. And this isn't new. This isn't new within the last 5 years where the popularity of sports wagering has exploded. This isn't new in the past few years when networks like the BetMGM Network and their incredible roster of talented and very sexy hosts have taken off. This is not new. Decker told me that when he got drafted and he got brought up, and he was a Padre to start it, and then he played for a handful of other teams, minor and major, throughout the rest of his career. Every clubhouse at every level had this poster plastered in a very prominent place in it. It is something that baseball has taken seriously since the Chicago White Stockings of the 19-teens and 20s. It is not something that they have just casually mentioned to rooks. No. It is a big deal that is reiterated annually to every person at every level of Major League Baseball. Max Scherzer gets the same speech that the backup left fielder in Toledo gets when the Walleyes start their season. This is going to be one of those times that I am going to sound like one callous S of a B. It doesn't matter that he's dead. That doesn't change anything. All it makes it feel like to me is you were just trying to disrespect Pete Rose. We'll let him in when he's dead. And he doesn't know that he's a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. And he can't celebrate that he's a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. And he can't market himself as a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. Because now what it feels like is the penalty is not that you are banned from baseball for doing a thing that is, again, plastered on big-ass posters in every single clubhouse from the top ranks of MLB down to single-A ball at its lowest level. Everyone is told this. Pete Rose dying should not change the fact that this rule, which is still a rule, it would be different to me if, say, hypothetically, back in the day, somebody smoked weed and they got kicked out of the league for smoking weed. And then 20, 30, 50 years later, after that guy was dead, MLB or whoever turned around and said, yeah, we don't really care if you smoke weed anymore. We're kind of over that. And so
they haven't said that yet.
It's coming down the pipe for sure.
We'll see.
It's coming down the pipe. But.
Ooh, don't do that again.
I just said but.
I know, but it did something.
I know it did something. I didn't. I just said but. and the butt exploded. I hate it when the butt explodes. I'm proud of me. It doesn't matter that he's dead. The man willingly violated a rule, a prominent rule, a rule that is hammered and hammered and hammered, that is put up on posters, that is labeled everywhere in every rank of Major League Baseball, willingly and repeatedly violated that rule as both a player and a manager. And then, after he was banned from baseball back in 1989, Pete Rose lied about that until 2004, when he finally came around and said, okay, I'm tired of answering the questions, and now everybody's got a podcast, so I'll go ahead and say it. Yeah, I did. I did it. I didn't think it was a big deal. I didn't think it was going to impact my job. Yeah, No. The man lied about it from 1989 to 2004 when he finally claimed clean, and then he went on a redemption tour from 2004 to 2024 when he passed away. Now, I'm all for second chances. I'm all for second chances, always have been. But there is a difference between redemption tour, where Pete Rose, I think, was eventually kind of almost to a degree lovingly re-embraced by baseball fans, right? Like in the early 2000s, Pete Rose was kind of considered a person that you wanted to maintain your distance from. And then over that 20-year redemption tour, Pete Rose was kind of re-accepted into baseball. In fact, one of my favorite clips of all time, there was a clip when Pete Rose was on MLB Tonight, back when that was a show, and he put on an absolute clinic in like a two-minute hitting segment about how many guys in Major League Baseball go into a slump and they change their swing, and it's like your swing is what got you here. Don't change your swing. Change everything else. He said there's a handful of things you can do. Choke up on the bat, choke down on the bat, step up in the box, step back in the box, step forward in the box, step left in the box, right? Change everything but your swing. Your swing got you here. There's a reason that suddenly your swing's not working, and it ain't the swing. So change everything else around. It was a great clip. It is a clip that when I coached baseball, which I haven't done in a while, when I coached baseball, this is something that I would quite literally show the kids. Look, if you go up there and you go 0 for 5 in a game, don't change anything. You're in your rhythm, your routine. You're hitting the ball. You're just having a bad slump. Let's change everything else. It was a great clip. And Pete Rose kind of became an accepted public figure in the world of baseball. But even I, someone who makes a good chunk of my annual income by talking about gambling, by promoting gambling, I am a gambler. I am a fan of it. I enjoy it. I understand that it is detrimental to the lives of many people, and I actively encourage those people, don't do it. But for those of us who are able to work it into our expendable income and enjoy it as a recreational activity, have at it. Even I am like, dude, you willingly, knowingly violated a league rule. And I'm not talking about a league rule like, you know, chewing gum on the field when you're not supposed to. I'm talking about a league rule that had you been busted in the process of it happening, you could have killed the sport. That's one of the big conversations going on right now. There are like 3 or 4 active and open federal investigations into gambling rings at different levels of sports. One of them is happening right now back in my own hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana, where the UNO Buccaneer basketball team has not one, not two, not three, but 4 different players under a federal investigation for being involved in a gambling ring. There is another one going on in basketball, in the NBA right now. These are things that while I am a gambling enthusiast, do it recreationally with spare money for funsies, and I encourage you to do the same if you are a gambler. While I am a fan, I also understand that the day that the integrity of a league dies because of gambling, not only does the integrity of the league die, but the ability to gamble for those of us who aren't willing to break the law to do it also dies. And I don't want either one of those things to go away. Pete Rose committed a mortal sin against baseball. He threatened the integrity of the league. And listen, I don't care when owners get their feelings hurt. There is a difference between threatening the integrity of the league and hurting the feelings of an owner, and the owner claims that his hurt feelings threaten the integrity of the league. John Mara, that's a different story. John Fisher, that's a different story. But when you threaten the integrity of the league to the point that you threaten fans' ability to enjoy it, that's bigger than you. That's bigger than you. That's bigger than me. That's bigger than all of us. And I understand that we show respect for the deceased in this country. Good. Fine. Great. But Pete Rose dying does not wash away the fact that he committed what I believe was the most egregious attack on the integrity of the game since the early 1900s White Sox. Why is a petition brought forward by Pete Rose's family? Of course they have his back. Why is a petition brought forward by Donald Trump? Yes, the president of the United States. Not a noted big-time baseball guy. Why is this something combined with the death of Pete Rose that we go, yeah, we understand that maybe more than anybody else in 60-plus years of baseball, he threatened the integrity of the game, of the association, of the league, but he's dead now, so we're like kind of cool with it. No. No. Do not reinstate Pete Rose. In fact, not only do not reinstate Pete Rose, change the rule that if you're caught gambling on baseball while you play baseball, it's the Pete Rose rule. You done, you cooked, and I don't care if you die. You're not getting in. It is, as a gambler, I cannot allow that to impact the integrity of the game, and Pete Rose is the poster child of that. It doesn't matter if he's dead. Rest in peace. See you on the other side. But, no, you don't get in. Sorry, Pete Rose's family. What he did... Second chance, sure. Redemption tour, become a character on the MLB circuit? Absolutely. Become a Hall of Famer? No. He attacked the integrity of the game in a way that nobody else has done in a very long time. Sorry he's dead. That sucks. Doesn't change anything. Hey, when we come back, I got your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office. Then I got 40 minutes where the phones and the text line belong to you. After that, Lulu Kessin for two segments, Rashad Beard to talk Panthers, Hayton S. Mario at 9, Fight Club at 9:20. The show is rocking today. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Now, here is the true star of the show, the Zohaian himself, Lonzo with a sports flash.
Not going to work. I'm still offended. By the way, it's hard to believe in the history of baseball, no one else has ever done that. Mm-hmm. Clemson basketball program is one step closer to a top 10 ranking with 78-69 win over Boston College last night. The Tigers were led by Jaden Zachary's 21 points, Chase Hunter's 18, and Ian Shefflin's 13 and 8 boards. Clemson out-rebounded the Eagles 43-26 in the win. The Tigers will wrap the regular season Saturday at home against Virginia Tech. Alabama's on a two-game losing streak after dropping a 99-94 game against Florida last night. The Gators' Alex Condon had 27 and 10 boards, and Walter Clayton Jr. added 22 and 8 assists in the win. Make sure you tune in this Saturday at 8 p.m. as Furman Paladins take on the Sanford Bulldogs in the first round of the SoCon basketball tournament. It's Furman versus Sanford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.